Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 64, episode 2 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness using the headlines, box office reports, TV ratings, what's trending on Google and social media. It's Tuesday, January 8th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Dr. Jackal and Mr. O'Brien, and I'm thrilled to be joined today by my special guest co-host, Lazy Mosley.
Hey,
what's
it's
up?
Me, Lazy Mosley, a.k.a. my loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, what? I still believe, when I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign, scare me, Lazy, one more time.
Wow, that was... the first AKA that was actually a better vocal performance than the original. So that was very...
I love Renee.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah,
it's so great to see you again.
Get
your hair. You got the glow
up
going.
I'm giving you Moesha today.
Yes. Awesome. It is working very well. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Casey Lay.
It's lie, but hey, thank
Casey
you.
Lie.
All right.
I got that right.
It's all right.
Last time.
Happy to be here. Yeah.
I deserve credit for that.
I appreciate
it.
It's been. And look, the last time I was supposed to be here, I had plane trouble, so I didn't show up.
Yeah.
So, you know what? I owe you.
You own a
payback's
plane?
A bitch.
Yeah. Casey, I own a plane.
You're paying
my
plane.
My plane was broken down. It can only take off in perfect conditions because it's a huge piece of shit, but I have a plane, okay?
That'd yes. be great. Like a corner cutting
yes.
private jet.
Right. It's still a jet though.
Yeah. It's a yes. hammy down. But it's still a fucking plane.
All right, Casey Lai. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first... we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to continue to talk about the R. Kelly series and also just, you know, sex trafficking, since that is a related topic, unfortunately. And
can't wait.
The story of Centoya Brown. And there's also that Drake thing. that is somewhat related. We're also going to talk about more shit I was right about with the Havana story. We're going to do a quick look back at the Golden Globes. The Globes, you guys. The night the stars come out to shine. I'm going to correct myself on the Kevin Hart thing. We are going to talk about just all the shit that the president seems confused about these days. But first, Casey, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I think the most revealing thing that I was just looking at in my search history is that I was looking for WeHo late night dance parties.
Uh-oh.
So for those of you who don't know, WeHo is West Hollywood, a.k.a. the gayest place. And I have been staying on, I've been house sitting on the west side. Usually I live on the east side and I never go out in WeHo. Mm. And I just think it's probably pretty apt. Definition of Casey is Googling at like 2:45 a.m. on a Friday night, late night WeHo dance parties. And there was only Mickey's and it was terrible. So anyway, just letting you know that if you have questions on late night dance places in a lot of Los Angeles, hit me up, Casey, L-E-Y, lie, on Twitter.
So you just had a really strong urge to dance?
I mean, I was hanging out with friends, and it was one of those things where I was like, I'm not going to be in WeHo again for a while. Mm, I know myself.
Because you live in East Hollywood, and that's just too far away.
I mean, I hate to say yes. So I've been staying in Westwood, and which is like further west than West Hollywood, and I haven't seen friends in a month and a half.
Oh, no.
Now, is this a nice house? Because like, I always hear house sitting. I'm like, I've never had to let anybody sit in my raggedy ass house. You know, it's just not nice enough to need people to sit in it.
Well, this person does better than you, and I have a plane. And well, actually, this is it's my ex's house that he shares with his new boyfriend.
Oh my god!
Glutton for punishment. No. But they're in Europe, and they have my dog that my ex and I used to have. So, and my ex and I are good. His new boyfriend is 21, but that's an ish. And at least one of us is living that Hollywood lifestyle fantasy that we've always wanted.
Are you there like moving shit? That's the biggest thing you can do to fuck with someone. I did that
move
with an ex-boyfriend. Yeah, I learned that in a Dane Cook comedy special. You just move shit around. I put his watch in his sock drawer and like his remote control between his mattresses.
Here's the thing is like, I know it's like a tenuous position because the boyfriend is a little wary of how close the ex and I still are. My ex and I still are. You know, well, because he's a child. And I'm sorry. I don't want to talk shit. It sounds like I'm bullying a child, but I'm not. I'm not.
He's 21.
He's taller than me. He has abs. He has way more Instagram followers.
Whoa.
He's going to be successful when he grows up one day. And I can't believe I'm saying this. This is so mean. I can't believe I'm doing this.
No, you're wonderful.
Okay. Anyway, so I'm there. And I don't want to, apart from these mean things that I'm saying, and actually he is a really nice person, I don't want to not be invited back to hang out with my dog.
Right.
So
right.
I'm trying to obey the rules.
Keep it chill.
The only rule was don't have sex in their house while they were gone.
Oh, that's mild.
That's like, and that's, it was weird enough to be there already. I was like, I'm not going to like, you know, bring
somebody else.
Boys to be like, oh, right. Cool place. Well, it's actually my ex.
Long story.
Yeah. And this is my dog. So, yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
So I think I'm just going to go with Golden Globe themes here. And this, for a show that was nominated for Golden Globes, it's hard to call it underrated, but it struggled to get a new season because of people watching it. That show is Pose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
FX series Pose, about trans gay performers in the trans queer performers in New York in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a fascinating show. And it's underrated because no one's watching it. Not enough people are watching it.
Yeah, we're watching it.
We're watching
and
it.
We are somebody's.
We are somebody's for sure. But and they did, and it's a Ryan Murphy joint. and I feel like the wrong Ryan Murphy joint won awards last night because Pose has, the actors in it are queer and trans, and they portray queer and trans people, unlike a lot of other shows.
Yeah.
You know, Darren Criss isn't even gay, right?
Yeah,
and
that's what I've heard. Also, like, remember when Transparent came out and they just let it fucking clean up?
I mean, and here, I love Transparent. Transparent got problematic at the end because of Jeffrey Tambor, you know, which is this issue. But like, I do feel like it was that point where it was the story was good and it was acting. And I did kind of have this idea. I was like, you know, people are allowed to act. You know, it's acting.
Yeah.
That being said, now knowing how many talented trans, gay, like everyone out there is capable of doing these roles, you can't like to me. If you're not at least really trying to find someone super talented who owns the experience, it's like on The Crown, Peter Morgan, who directs The Crown, which is my other favorite show. I'm gay, by the way. And like he's like, you know, a middle-aged woman needs to play a middle-aged woman because she can bring the experience of middle-aged women. That's why he changes the queen. He's going to change the queen every two seasons.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Same. Yeah, yeah. So Olivia Colman is going to play the queen in the coming up seasons.
Oh, shit.
Where Claire Foy played it before, and I'm super psyched about that because the only person who could play it after Claire Foy is Olivia Colman. I have a lot to say about all of this. Anyway, long story short, it's a great show. It's emotional and it's super entertaining. If you've seen Paris is Burning, the documentary about drag ball culture in the 80s and 90s in New York, this is what that is about.
Got it.
And it's glittery, fantastic, and super enjoyable. And Billy Porter is a national gem, and he should have won a Golden Globe.
Oh, my gosh. He really should have. He was amazing.
He told me I was cute one time. That's all I needed.
That is the most validation that anybody needs
ever in life.
Best performance by somebody who called me cute. what is something you think is overrated?
I'm going to stick with the Golden Globes, and I'm sorry to say, I think Bohemian Rhapsody is overrated. And I didn't think this was going to be an issue because it didn't really get the reviews, the good positive reviews.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't worried. It made a lot of money. I'm happy when anything makes money.
Sure.
You know, that's great. Make that money. But the problem was it shouldn't have won the best drama. Put it in the musical category, first of all.
Right.
Okay.
I was confused. I had to like check. I was like, oh, they mistakenly put it in the best drama category.
Those categories are such trash.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't
make up
any
your
sense.
Mind.
Seriously.
Especially the comedy music, just we gonna throw anything over here category.
There's like one like actual musical produced a year now.
Yeah.
And then you have A Star is Born and which is a drama, sure, but it's also a musical drama.
It's a musical.
Yeah, totally.
And then Bohemian Rhapsody, which is basically just a concert film, like a CGA concert film. then that's a musical too. But the issue for me is that as a gay HIV positive man, working in this society, to have the icon of queer HIV positive representation, whether he was out at the time or not, he is like very much associated with it, you know?
Totally.
That's like, it's like making a movie about Keith Haring without including any of the gay sex or the HIV. Like, they allude to all of it a lot.
Right.
They treat Freddie's homosexuality as like a curse that brings him down.
Right.
They treat it as like the thing that ruined Queen, you know?
Right.
And I just am like, I just couldn't believe that's the direction they went with the movie. No, I can believe that's the direction they went with the movie, but I can't believe it's being honored. You know, like this makes us feel better when literally like all the homosexuality that is portrayed in the movie is like passing glances at like dirty cock sucking bars, you know?
Right.
You know, the good old dirty cock sucking bars, just all dirty temptation,
right?
Yeah.
And
well,
then he ends up.
They treat it like it's like a heroin addiction or something. And it's not.
Absolutely.
It's what made his music what it was. It's who made him who he was. It's a part of who he is.
And
yeah, I know exactly what you mean by that.
And they're like, and they're like his poor suffering wife. And it's like, sure, but also like, that's not the reality of their relationship. They also fucked with the timeline hard. So like,
right.
It's not even a true, like true story. It's like based on, inspired by the life of Queen.
Right.
And then fucking the rest of Queen, oh well, only two of them. I guess John Deacon didn't okay any of and didn't like sign off on all of it. But the other two,
Brian May and
drummer.
Yeah.
It seems like they wanted to save the legacy and not make Freddie out to be the like fucking flamboyant, like proud motherfucker that he was. He was a peacock. He was a peacock.
Right.
And you saw the peacock part, but you didn't see the like the things that made him a peacock.
Right.
Right.
Why he loved peacock so much, you know? So overrated Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, Golden Globes, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. And finally, what's a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Something that people think is true that I know to be false. What did I write down? Oh, this was the thing. I kind of fucked this up, but because I worked on this for something else, but I would say the thing that I think is true that other people don't know is that this is related to the queen thing. Princess Diana, no one realized, but she was like a real cool party animal. And
really?
Yeah. And I know this because she went to a gay bar with Freddie Mercury. Disguised as a man.
Wow.
And I was reading this whole like story about the entire thing, and like she just was a cool person who wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a myth to be like Princess Diana was like
sweet
a bitch. You know, like, I just kind of thought it was crazy that Freddie Mercury took Princess Diana in the late 80s to a gay bar in London incognito and nobody knew who she was.
Yeah, Lady Di liked the turn up.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I love that it was like all of these like, because Freddie went to all like the gay fetish bars, like
right.
She went to like a gay fetish bar.
Oh, so she was like some wild shit. Let's not even know regular shit. Like, you know, he's like, oh, right. A gay bar, we can not have like, flirtinis. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she like, was at.
Everyone thinks fucking Meghan Markle is the coolest princess. No, that's the myth debunked. It's Princess Diana,
right,
okay? She's still the coolest. Meghan Markle, go to a leather bar, come down to fucking the Eagle in Silver Lake, and then we'll talk about who's the coolest British royal.
Hell yeah. All right. Let's get into the stories in the zeitgeist. So the R. Kelly series, Lacey, you were saying it concluded over
the
weekend?
Yes, it concluded over the weekend.
And this is a docuseries, a six-part docuseries about the victims of his, you know, systematic sexual abuse.
It's honestly shocking. Obviously, R. Kelly peeing on people has been in the cultural zeitgeist since Dave Chappelle said this. But I think that we all kind of, because of the media and how it was treated, took his behavior lightly. When I watched this six-part documentary with countless victims. Also, no one was paid in this documentary. These people came forward and told their personal business for free. And you could say like some people would want fame or recognition, but if you watch these women talking, you're like, no, this is from a different place.
No.
There was just an earnesty and a sincerity from everyone who was speaking in this documentary. And also from the people who were helping this motherfucker get away with these damn crimes.
Right.
His assistant speaks in this, and I was like, if I was his assistant, I would have been under that little black curtain. My voice would have been talking like this. You would have never known it was me. Like, bitch, I'm not about to be out here with my whole face on television telling people that I aided and abetted this goddamn child molester sicko.
Yeah, and it was like very systematic, right?
Oh, absolutely. So there were some words that kept reappearing that really kind of solidified for me the truth of this story, which were words like training. Like R. Kelly would tell these girls, he would target them at concerts. He had a whole, first of all, this motherfucker had a whole system now. You know when before I get to the first of all you artists need to stop bringing regular people up on stage.
Sure.
Get plants like Donald Trump does at his rallies.
Right.
Don't be out here with real motherfucking people on your stage. Stop doing it. It's whack.
And then don't pee on them.
Exactly. And definitely don't
whatever
pee on
Donald
them
Trump,
after.
Donald Trump at least pays for it.
Right.
But like, and even the things that we used to joke about, like watching this documentary and watching all of these black women, it was honestly very cringy for me because black women get the brunt end of the stick so often. No one protects us, not even our own men. Sorry, I'm still saying it because it's true. But y'all can add me on Twitter. The black men love to fight with me on Twitter. I'll be where I'm always at on my timeline. So come catch me on my timeline. But to be honest, it was amazing how much he's gotten away with simply because his victims were women of color. And also the systems that he had created that were functioning and have been functioning for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
At his concerts, he would bring the girls on stage and, you know, sing to them or whatever the fuck. And then instead of letting them go off stage the way they came, they always had to go backstage and through the backstage so he could get his people on them and get their numbers and target the ones that he felt like were weak enough to manipulate. Like, he had a whole fucking system. This motherfucker was always at the high school. I thought that was a joke. He was at the high school.
He literally went to high schools.
Hanging out at high schools. And also the mall, which I will bring up later. But he would go to the mall and he would target young women at the mall as well.
Just like incognito or like, I mean, I haven't watched this yet.
So his system is he would walk past and then his henchmen, who one of them had the decency to cover his goddamn face and mumble his voice.
Yeah.
But the other one is out here just kikiing and laughing about how he fucking forged some documents.
Jesus.
For Aaliyah's marriage, making her 18 when she was really
15.
That's
a story I know, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. And he reflects on it, and he was like, yeah, she kind of looked at me like she wanted help, and I guess I should have tried
Aaliyah
to help her.
Did?
Yes!
I mean...
And we all thought, and what's so gross is we thought, because I remember the Aaliyah thing, I was quite young, But we were like, oh, well, Leah, 15, that's kind of old. 15 is not old.
No, it's not
old.
Right.
And to us at the time,
at the time. Yeah. It's and she like was a beautiful
thing.
Girl. Yeah. They put makeup on
175 years ago.
Right.
And like on the wagon trail,
right.
You know, that's
right.
A different story. A creepy different story, but
right.
That's the past. Now it's not okay. And I feel like that's insane to me. And also just the network, this is what, it terrifies me, and it's no longer surprising, is in all of these stories, there are, it's not just a predator, especially these predators who get away with it for so long who are famous. It is a network of their, like,
people
supporters
and
their enablers and their money people, because they're the money train.
Yeah, RCA,
you know?
Still has R. Kelly signed, and I just signed a petition last night to drop him from the record label because he's still making money.
And he's still guesting on songs all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And writing songs.
And, yeah,
he wrote basically the whole soundtrack to Sparkle.
yeah.
We were talking. Yeah, that's
Which
the thing is like.
The last movie I cried to on a plane.
On your plane.
Yeah.
And it's,
that's why I was late. That's why I couldn't make it that last time I was bawling to Sparkle.
It's crazy because I think we all thought it was isolated. Like, oh, Aaliyah's beautiful and mature. Like, that's why this was just an isolated incident. But it's like he has crafted a system. Trained kept coming up. That word was very operative in the documentary series of, like, R. Kelly would tell the girls that he would train them in on how to have sex. And how to, you know, be whatever kind of woman he wanted in captivity. And then eventually his system was so advanced that he had a woman who he had broken down so much that she was the trainer.
Jeez.
So she would be incepting these women when they came in and training them on how to behave and how to, you know.
So were they living with him? I mean,
yes.
Like, I got to watch this because I feel
uninformed. He has women
but...
living with him in several different states. Some would be living in Atlanta. Some would be living in Chicago. Some would be holed up in hotels in Los Angeles so that when he visited Los Angeles, he would go see those women who were in hotels, and they weren't allowed to leave. They weren't allowed to eat without asking him. They're not allowed to use the bathroom without asking him. He was physically abusing all of these women.
I mean,
it's crazy. And there's so
monsters in the midst.
Many.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the cover of her album. Just this... Her album, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Which this motherfucker told us the whole time. That's also what's crazy.
She's in the foreground. He is leaning against the wall like a pedophile, looking at her like blurry.
Yikes.
He's like blurry in the background.
Leering.
Leering with a vest and no shirt underneath.
Yeah.
Which I guess was kind of a wave at the time, but still.
But also is very creepy.
Yes.
He's also told, I think a huge argument for R. Kelly and a reason he's lasted so long is the whole separate the art from the artist.
Okay.
But R. Kelly's art has been this. The R in R. Kelly stands for rape. He never told us it stood for robbery.
He called himself Uncle R.
Rapey
he
Kelly.
Called himself the Pied Piper of this R&B shit.
Pied Piper.
Meaning I play my pipe.
Children
follow.
Mm-hmm.
He told us this whole time, Age ain't nothing but a number.
Trapped in the closet.
He had women trapped in the closet.
Everyone's like, he's gay. No. It's women trapped in the closet. Don't bring us into this, okay?
Right.
So he's told us he's been a monster hiding in plain sight all this time, and because of money, and because also of, I think, of society's unwillingness to let go of things that have impacted our lives personally, because it feels like if we say mute R. Kelly, then we have to mute every moment that was involved with R. Kelly. We all sang at 5 years old, at least at the black schools. We all sang the little I forget which.
I'm not trying to be rude. That's what.
Oh no, we sang the positive one that was like, now I can believe I can fly.
I believe I can fly.
It might be I can believe I believe I can fly. There's one little song that I can't remember, but as a 5-year-old,
I believe I can fly is a
yeah.
I'm not gonna even get it. It's a real heartwarming song.
When I graduated,
written and sung by a monster.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song
written
and sung
by
a monster? Yeah, total monster. There's a lot.
There's
a lot.
Right.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, it's like it is. It's we have to accept. The fact that if we start accepting all this, which we should, it's that we really have to go back and call it out. And it's not about separate. Michael Jackson, I believe, was a predator. You know, I mean,
There's
I think he
evidence.
Was super fucked up. You know, and
He's dead, which is the only thing I feel like that makes it more convenient for all of us.
Yeah, right. It helps. And he means so much to all of us. And I mean, like, I don't know. It's just. It's hard to the question is, can you separate the art from the artist? I mean,
not in R. Kelly's case. His music is literally about attacking children. Do you know the song "You Are Not Alone" that he wrote for Michael Jackson
is
about a young woman that he got pregnant and then had like get an abortion?
I did.
Wait,
not know
really?
That.
Yes,
that's
the woman
awful.
Is in the documentary. Like, she chose to have the abortion. It's not like he forced her, but it's about her.
Jesus
and this is
Christ.
Also a woman that he gave a very almost deadly disease too. Yeah, it's crazy. But also, now that I think about it, I can do without R. Kelly's music.
Yes.
It's going to be, you know, what is he at? Feeling on Your Booty? I don't need to sing Feeling on Your
right.
Booty no more. I Can Believe
it's
I Can
really
Fly is basic as shit.
Ignition.
Yeah, yeah.
Ignition
hot and fresh
remix.
Out the kitchen.
That's
God
the one
damn.
That
it's
is.
It's a good one.
That's
it's
a tough
a
one to
one.
Let go, but I think we have to.
Listen, I can. There's so many other songs about cars, thanks to heterosexual men.
Thanks.
That
thinking that that is an amazing metaphor. That
for
they
a
just
woman that they just thought of.
No, but see what you, ignition, like, so the key goes in the
key is the
so
penis.
Get,
but we
right,
need a
right.
new place to go after the after party because we can't go to the hotel lobby anymore.
Right.
Damn,
we sure can.
We'll have to find a new place.
And we were talking about Omarion came out and was saying that he wasn't going to perform any more of the songs that R. Kelly had written for B2K, because that's the other thing. R. Kelly wrote for a lot of very popular
B2K.
Musicians. Listen, B2K is coming back out.
All right.
I'm selling B2K starter packs for y'all out there, okay? Eco Styler gel, apple bottom jeans, Boots with the Furs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I do remember that song. That was a good song.
So we can go to the B2K concert, but R. Kelly wrote Bump Bump Bump. I'm going to have to bump up that off my playlist.
I'm going to need to go through and I just want to find out all songs written by R. Kelly. So I can, but that's the thing. Can you, if it wasn't like
him
performing
it.
It, you know, he's
it's
just writing
sticky.
It. And if it's not about peeing on people and locking them in a way, like if, like if it's about, I don't know. That's, I guess it's all he sings about.
Right.
So
it's
know.
Just crazy that it's taken us 30 years to cancel him with all the information that's coming
but
out.
I mean,
so.
But I mean, Cosby, you know, I mean, Cosby
yeah,
was more intertwined
life. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
in our hearts and in our lives and in media and culture. And it, that just happened, but it did happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another guy who had all these enablers and,
and the last thing I have to say about this is directed, especially at people who believe that the attack of R. Kelly has to do with his race, is that this is not a race issue, okay?
No.
I'm sorry. Creeps are creeps, and I don't give a fuck if they're black, and I know it's harder for black people, but listen, black folks shouldn't be out here trying to bolster up creeps simply because they're African-American, and y'all need to quit that shit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
I
think
that.
Your point about, you know, the race of his victims having something to do with the fact that the culture was able to overlook it for so long is probably the more apt
Absolutely.
Racial angle.
And just one more callback. Bryan Singer helped direct fucking Bohemian Rhapsody. So it's a gay problem too.
Ooh.
And let's not whitewash that part. And also another reason why we should just cancel Bohemian Rhapsody. Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. It's if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and unfortunately this is going to be a bit of a theme across the first half of our episode. So, I mean, not unfortunately in the respect that Cyntoia Brown, who was serving a life sentence for murdering a man who was paying to have sex with her when she was 16, was just granted clemency, which a lot of people were pushing for a long time. She was a victim of human trafficking. And when she was first convicted, they just like didn't take into account that she was underage, that she was being sexually abused, that she was a victim of human trafficking. And human trafficking is actually, you know, it's between a $10 billion and $32 billion worldwide industry, which, to put that in perspective, $10 billion is four times the entire Burger King chain. And 83% of sex trafficking incidents in the U.S. involved victims that were U.S. citizens. It's estimated that right now 300,000 kids are in that situation by the FBI. And, you know, the FBI freed in June of 2014, they freed 168 kids who had been sold into sex slavery. Since 2008, at least 4,000 kids. So it's a problem that I think just in general, we don't like to look at it, whether it's R. Kelly or, you know, just somebody in our city. And I think it's one of those things that we tend to hope that when we see somebody in a really unfortunate circumstance, that it's not as bad as we might think, or it's, you know, that they did something to deserve that or some shit like that. And it's just, you know, there are victims all around us that and more of them than we might think.
Thanks for bringing me on to a super light show.
You're welcome.
I think this is something that I'm going to say, and I'm just whatever. People want to fuck kids, and it's something that we don't talk about sex as a society, and as a result of that, we allow these systems of bad, unhealthy, exploitative sex to exist. And that's a very basic understanding of it. But like, I don't want to defend Roseanne Barr too much, but she used to talk a lot about how Hollywood is full of pedophiles.
Right.
And it becomes clearer and clearer that is real.
Yeah.
And it becomes clearer and clearer that that's real throughout society.
Yeah.
And so it's a crazy thing to say, but it's real. And we need to talk about weird stuff more openly as a society. I don't think that's going to happen, but like, that's why, like, this secret industry of $10 billion,
right.
You know, we could open up the government with half that, okay?
Right.
And it's a lot of fucking money. And I, you know, I don't really have anything intelligent to say beyond, like, it's, like, humans are crazy. And kids are often, you know, the ones who are dealing with the things that fucked up adults do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, honestly, also speaking of crazy, Shout out to Kim K. She put a lot of her celebrity behind Santoya Brown and behind the publicity behind, you know, what essentially freed this black woman. This is the second black woman that Kim Kardashian has helped get out of jail. And I can't say nothing about her ass no more. I might have to go out and get some of this KKW beauty. Goddamn, bitch. Listen, I used to be like, oh, Kim K got that butt from us. Listen, you earned that booty, child, okay? Thank you so much.
And I'm going to go back. There's a woman who used sex to her advantage openly and unashamedly.
Right.
And now is doing good things with the benefits she's reaped. And everyone wants to call her a slut. Yeah, but she's doing social good work. So
I never called her that.
Yeah,
I honestly,
but people did.
I know. I'm very happy to see a woman get paid from some damn sex. Shit. It's honorable to give out your pussy for free.
And,
right.
But sex, you want some coins on that nightstand, then it's a problem.
And let's be real. Look, who hasn't, like, I don't know you guys that well, but like, I for sure have sent my fair share of like questionably accepted pictures of various states of undress and things. And like, as someone who wants to become more famous, thank God for Kim Kardashian and Paris Hilton putting sex out there in the beginning. Yeah. So like, when I do become famous and maybe my penis or butthole becomes open onto the into the public imagination, but who cares? Who cares? Okay.
But also, shout out to all this news that seems to be putting you know, the subjugation of black women in the forefront.
Yeah.
It's really important that we talk about it and that we help change it and help black women. So, yes.
There's also the Drake thing that broke over the weekend, where it's an old video of him at a concert where he's...
From 2010,
where he is, you know, kissing and dancing with a girl who he then finds out is 17 and then continues kissing and groping her. Yeah.
And quotes like, oh, you're 17. I don't want to go to jail. I really enjoyed this. I hope that's not bad. I really like the way your breasts feel against my chest.
Wait, this is the audio.
This is the audio from that video.
Yeah.
And Drake, this is not what I thought you meant by sicko mode. Drake. Come on now, Aubrey. I can't be listening to you if you're going to be out here touching on little kids. And the thing that I wanted to bring up in comparison with R. Kelly is in that documentary, they talk about kind of the system that he had. He would go to high schools. We talked about that. He would also go to the mall.
Right.
And you know where Drake goes to meet lots of his women? The mall.
How does Drake go to the mall?
It's in the same fashion of he goes to the mall, walks around, shops a little bit, and has his entourage give information to specific women that he finds attractive or whatever. I've also been to Drake concerts. I love Drake, and I hope that he's not out here touching on these little children.
Yeah.
But I've been to Drake concerts and been asked to go backstage when I was younger.
Yeah.
And nothing bad happened. So I was like, okay, hopefully he's not out here creeping. But also that thing with Millie Bobby Brown.
Right. So this is
out of it.
I know.
I'm sorry.
What? The thing with Millie Bobby Brown is just that he has a very like advisory relationship with her, where she's like, he always gives me advice on like who
text.
To date, and we text, and
that's called grooming.
Right. It's just a weird thing that he was also dating a girl who was close to underage, if not underage, at the time that news broke. And so on our Looking Forward 2019 predictions episode that Lacey co-hosted, we talked about, we were like, we hope that this Drake thing doesn't develop into a full-fledged like trend, and then this news breaks a week later. So,
and just for like legalistic terms, like in certain places, 17 is the age of consent for certain things. Is this a video of like aggressive, non-consensual action?
It's completely what happens at a lot of concerts, a fan comes up, and I'm sure the girl looked like she was having a good time, just that yes, that is the age of consent, but I guess what 9 years ago, Drake's 32 now, he would have been, he was kind of young. He's like, would have been 23 in that video.
And it's 24. Like, and look, I'm so far, I don't want to, like, just because the other two things have been so intense, I don't want to like
lump that in.
I love Drake and I really hope that he calms his ass down, because getting rid of a Drake catalog would actually be very, very hard for me.
That would be difficult.
The other thing, though, is like, if he knows this is out there now and he can't be like, you know what, maybe I'll leave the 17-year-old. 19's acceptable, you know? like, if you can't do that, then you got a fucking problem, Jake.
Right, exactly. And also, this might have just been a couple of errors in judgment. I think we all say and do inappropriate things from time to time.
This was the thing we were raising our eyebrows at on the Daily Zeitgeist, and it seemed to enter the general zeitgeist this past weekend with this video. So we at least wanted to bring it up. There's also the Havana thing where that we were talking about a lot on the Daily Zeitgeist that I thought it was mass hysteria. Then there was a New Yorker article that made me think maybe I was wrong. Well, now scientists have come out and said that the sound that was recorded that was supposedly the sonic attack was actually the Indies short-tailed cricket. So
wait, really?
Yeah. Cricket. So
it wasn't Russian meddling with American brains.
At least the sound that they got on recording, and I went back and read the ProPublica article that kind of did a beat for beat like breakdown of how the story came together and like how everybody started reporting this. One of the key factors that made people start thinking something was up was this sound. And like, so one guy reported that he was like feeling headaches and nausea, and he did have inner ear damage. And so they were like, this guy definitely has something. And then he went over to somebody else's house and they heard that sound, and he was like, that's the sound I've been hearing. And then they recorded it, and it was a cricket. And it was just a cricket that they weren't used to
This is the remake, the cricket remake.
Right. Okay. It's just a type of cricket. Well, the guy specifically says in his quote, as he's like, at first I was just like, it's probably, we're in a foreign country that I've never been to. It's probably like a type of insect I've never heard.
Yeah.
And yes, that was what it was. But you just like turned it into this whole, and a lot of it is like the Trump administration getting out in front of the story, trying to make it a thing because they wanted to blow up the whole Cuba Obama thing.
And they said it was a bunch of people too. And I imagine that like one person says they have symptoms of something, and then that could, like whatever that effect is, I'm sure that that was part of it as well.
And some people have, like, they've looked at their brains and say that there was like concussive damage of some sort.
Strong but, cricket.
Right. Brain. Brain stuff is also very foggy, and we'll see how it develops. Maybe there was an attack that was going on, and then it was like, you know, everybody's attention was thrown off because of this weird cricket sound. We'll see. But let's move on to the Golden Globes, you guys. We've given it the necessary day to decompress from the Globes. I think the day after the Globes should be a national holiday where we just get to, you know.
At least in LA.
Right.
A citywide
That's
holiday.
What people say in the rest of the country after the Super Bowl. So I thought it would be really out of touch for me to say that after the Golden Globes.
Oh, right.
So what'd you guys think? Any takeaways? It seemed like it was sort of a light on events, an uneventful,
yeah,
I guess, would
it was
be the
a dry
way
ass
humans
globe.
Put that. Yeah, because there was the actress from This Is Us potentially calling Alison Brie a bitch off mic or on a hot mic, and that was like the main story that came away from it, and it turns out she wasn't probably calling her
it's
that.
For sure not true. I know the guy who was interviewing, so weird brag. but I wish it was true, because then it would have been more lit. Also, shout out to Chrissy Metz, girl, you better absorb this minute, because I only knew you from, you know, the girl who was making me cry every goddamn week. You know, get out here and get you some coins, girl, get you a commercial going, splash some Neutrogena on your face, sis. This your moment. But it was dry other than that. Like, they even had to fabricate that drama.
By design, I am imagining, like, they just wanted not to stir any pot. I mean, I feel that way. I mean, like, the opening, you know, it was good, it was solid, and there were some laughs and there were some moments, but it was not, like, Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg did a super acceptable job, you know?
Super acceptable is shade.
Yeah, sure, it is shade. It was just weird. Everything got spread around. I was upset with some of the awards, but overall it was like, I put it on a little bit of delay so I could fast forward through the commercials, and in the end I found myself fast forwarding through the acceptance speeches too, because I was like, no, I don't care about anything. I don't care about what anyone's going to say. It kind of set that tone. And then a shameless brag about a connection too. My future second cousin-in-law, once removed, won a Golden Globe last night.
Whoa.
So, Lady Gaga, if you are listening, I know we haven't met yet, but I am.
That could have been anybody. I thought you were going to say Regina King. I was like, that many
Stephanie Gaga. We're taking her last name, all of us. She. I don't feel like she was robbed in the acting category because Olivia Colman was the deserved winner of that. Yeah. She killed The Favorite. It's amazing. It's so really good.
I never saw it.
It's good.
Sorry. I saw Emma Stone was in it, and I was like, no thanks.
And she, in my mind, she's good in this, but she is the weakest link of the three main stars in all of that. And
But they're all really strong.
They're
links.
All really they're strong. So like, Rachel Weisz is so good in it, and I feel like she didn't win supporting because they split the ticket on it.
Right.
But so Lady Gaga, my family member, future family member, she won the best song, and she looked amazing, like we do in the family. So I'm really proud of her.
Family resemblance.
Your cousin's engaged.
My second cousin, once removed, is engaged. Christian Carino. He's like a big super agent at CAA, and I couldn't talk about this for forever because it was a kind of a secret.
Family secret.
And so we're all just very excited. My mom was feeling pretty sick yesterday, and then she called me and couldn't stop talking about our cousin. She calls her Steph, and I'm like, just go with me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she knows more. She asks more questions about Lady Gaga than she does about like my career and all that. And she really shows what her priorities are.
I didn't. God, it was just so dry.
For people who aren't from Hollywood, I feel like the Golden Globes is good for like making you hate Hollywood, like focusing your hatred. I thought the Jeff Bridges speech was really a peak moment for that, where he like droned on about stuff that occurs to you when you get really high for the first time, and then like made life into a tag metaphor where being it means you are like supernaturally blessed by God to have everything go really well in your life. And it's just like a way for him to understand the insanely good fortune. Like, he's a talented dude.
It's like
I love a lot
video.
Of his movies, but it's
why
just like,
why did God make me this talented?
Right, exactly.
Why am I so beautiful?
Right.
Jeff Bridges just got up and did that.
Yeah, just his way of explaining why the universe is cosmically conspiring to make everything awesome and revolve around him, and then you behave as though it does, and then, I don't know, Hollywood believes you because it's a weird town that's controlled by power brokers.
Yeah.
And...
And in that role, in the last 2 years, wasn't it Meryl and Oprah who like both like boots the house down the entire time?
Yeah,
like
that
like
was.
They just brought it up because like they
like,
just
we need a white man to come.
Yeah, I think
we resetting? Was this like the, like Trump's Golden Globe?
But it was all about like diversity and nominations, like, you know, and they drove that home. But in the end, winning wise, it was like, all right, Marvelous Miss Maisel, I guess, gets it again. Sure, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah,
the Kaminsky method.
The Kaminsky method gets Kaminsky. It.
They dug that shit up. System. I was like, the Kim Cook, who? Like, what? I was like, which ain't nobody. I had to look it up because I thought it was some kind of scandal or. Like,
yeah, I was like, why didn't Atlanta win? And then I realized Atlanta wasn't even nominated. The Good Place, Barry, both probably like were shows that I know people who watch and like.
Yeah.
The Kaminsky method just seemed like it was one of those things where it was specifically targeted for the elderly people who vote on this award.
My parents loved it, and they're in their late 60s.
Yeah. Which I will say is the only thing that I try not to shade old people, because I know I'm going to be an old-ass bitch one day. You know, I'm out here in my bejeweled walker and shit. And I still want to be popping. I still want to be one of the girls. You know what I mean? Like, at first, when I saw Viola Davis get her box 8 and How to Get Away with Murder, I said, I don't want to see my auntie get her box 8. Then I thought, I'm going to be an auntie one day, and I'm going to be trying to get my box 8 on television.
Yeah.
So
old
I can't.
Fuck.
Yeah, old people fuck. And I'm going to be an old motherfucker fucking.
Yeah, me too.
So I can't shade too much of the older television and the older actors getting their little due, just because I'm like, when I'm old as shit, I hope that somebody will still be trying to, you know, let me climb on that stage real slow and talk for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Well, Carol Burnett was great.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah.
That retrospective was awesome. Green Book is...
Sandra Oh. Shout out
Sandra
to...
Sandra Oh was awesome.
Green Book. Now, Jack.
Green Book. I was not putting that out there as something else that was awesome. I was saying that is this year's, like, white savior.
Right.
You know, every year we need one. We need a banger.
Right.
We need one white savior banger. And this year it was Green book. That shit, I did not see it. I won't see it. I'm done seeing slave movies. And I'm done seeing nice white people movies where we drive around in cars and shit. We did that. Driving Miss Daisy, we've seen that.
And then I'm just like, what? I know nothing about this movie, but not a single one of the previews have I been like, now that's a groundbreaking movie of something. Right. And it's just like it's like musicians in a car driving around together. And yeah. I don't, it's like, that's a podcast or a vlog. That's not a fucking award-winning movie in my mind. Right. But, you know, maybe I'm missing something.
It's just the movie that makes white people feel good. And I get it. White people, now that you have to have some kind of introspection on how horrible
we
you
need
are, that y'all need y'all's feel good movie.
But
you
what's
need
our
it.
Part in overcoming racism? Other than being the racists, what's our part?
And how this is
we,
it.
How are we the heroes?
We were the nice guy in the car.
Right. Nice right. guys in cars, you know?
Yeah.
Getting coffee.
Now listen, if I get offered a role to be in one of those, you best believe my black ass will be up in there like, oh, Mr. White Man, your show is good to me. Ooh, child, Mr. White Man. Okay, and I will deny this. I will deny this podcast.
That's so funny. Yeah, I mean, if R. Kelly needs a new singer, I mean, my career's not where I wanted to be.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Ooh, Sandra Oh was great.
Amazing.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are seeing her in a new light after her hosting gig.
She has been working forever. Sandra Oh been out here pounding this damn pavement.
Yeah.
Decades, honey. Yeah, yeah. She's been in the game. And I did appreciate that shade that she threw at Emma Stone.
Wait, was
what was that one?
So she talked about how Asian, before Crazy Rich Asians, how many Asian women had been, what was it, Dracula?
Leading roles, yeah.
Yes, like, leading roles besides Aloha and Ghost in a Shell.
Yeah,
and
then Emma Stone
was like, I'm sorry, from the audience.
Yeah.
And that was it's crazy. And then I just was reading that Scarlett Johansson is playing another, like,
ScarJo.
Misraced like character, and it's like no. Also, Crazy Rich Asians was great, and also what was I gonna say on that Sandra Oh did a thing. Ah, fuck it, I forgot it. Sorry.
Well, her parents.
Oh, that was super adorable.
It was so adorable. Yeah, Scarlett Johansson is about to remake Malcolm X. And
shit.
Well, I'm gonna go see it because she's good at that.
She's gonna make some strong choices.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And briefly, I wanted to correct myself, which Miles did on yesterday's show, but just wanted to acknowledge both the point that Miles is making about. So the Ellen DeGeneres, Kevin Hart interview that happened at the end of last week. So he did apologize when he was backing out of the Oscar hosting role in a tweet. But during the Ellen interview, he kept referring to the fact that he had already, even before the controversy, he had already dealt with the joke and, you know, apologized for that. And I kind of took him at his word that he had done that and in the past prior to the controversy. And that doesn't appear to be the case. And there's a really great segment on the Don Lemon show where he addresses why he needs to apologize, like how he can actually, you know, make amends for his jokes in the past. And again, he continues to, you know, Kevin Hart's response to that segment even was to say, we all need to learn and acknowledge that we all need to learn and, you know, let's try and remember that in 2019. Like, so again, like, people are being too mean to him was his takeaway.
I've never seen somebody double down on being problematic as hard as Kevin Hart
has. He really is.
He's done it multiple times with the Cowboys and Indians party, just really coming out and just doubling down on being ignorant as fuck. And also on this homophobic thing, like, come on now, man. We saw your tweets. Yeah, everybody tweets bad shit. Delete your tweets like a smart person. but also, you just apologize. I also didn't like that Ellen DeGeneres came out here trying to be the voice of all gay people. I just thought that that was annoying as fuck. girl, please stop. Please stop that. And also, shout out to Don Lemon, who I now call Don Lemon Pepper, which I've told y'all that because he's woke as fuck out here. We dragged him for a solid 10 years on Twitter, and he finally got his shit together. And he's right. Kevin Hart doesn't realize that jokes aren't just jokes because people who laugh at these jokes also think it's okay to assault gay people, which they do every single day, and they continue to do, and we need to take responsibility for that.
If he was like, gay people are like this, wonka, 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 that's a joke that you can be like, you know what, I said a thing. He was like, I'll hit my kid if he's gay. I mean, it's like real funny joke, and that is that's the issue for me. It's like, if you can't realize that the joke is perpetuating hate against a group of people and that you can't just apologize for it, then don't host the Oscars or host anything else. Right. And I'm not gonna go see your movies too. I mean, look, I haven't seen a Kevin Hart movie in a long time. I'm not that worried about it, but I do think that we can get over things that you said as long as you show a little bit of fucking.
And it's not that hard.
It's not that hard. Fake it. You're an actor, goddammit.
That's the thing that sucks.
Yeah.
Which is going to be harder to take out of the rotation, Remix to Ignition or Central Intelligence? would you say?
I do love The Rock. I smell what he's cooking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. all right. But let's move on. We've talked enough about Kevin Hart over the past two shows. Let's talk about the word motherfucker. Just in honor of the continued outrage over the freshman congresswoman's calling the president motherfucker, I wanted to look back at something a writer named Ian Cheeseman wrote for us when I was back at Cracked that reviews the best idiomatic insults around the globe, because a lot of attention is being paid to motherfucker as if it's like an incredible insult, and I've always found it to be a little bit wanting because it's not specific about like whose mother the person is fucking, and like that could be almost like a compliment. Like, it just means you're having sex with a woman who's had children.
Me
like
too, I love, E2 Mama Tambien kind
right, of way. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I love my dad, and he's a motherfucker. So.
Right. True that. Yeah. True that.
So, we actually went through other countries and cultures with better insults, and I just wanted to run through a couple of them for you guys and get your reactions. So, a few Spanish-speaking cultures have suck butter from my ass.
Stop!
Oh.
I shit on your dead, and I shit in your mother.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would feel uncomfortable saying that one.
Yeah.
The sucking butter out of a butthole, is that what it is?
Yeah. Sucking butter out of...
I'll suck butter,
suck butter,
your
butter from my ass.
Yeah. Oh, you suck butter out of my ass. I got it.
As a woman, I feel like too many men would like that if I said that to them.
Right.
Like, sure, anytime.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that one would really backfire. But shit in your mother, that's complicated.
Shitting your mother will cause infection for sure.
Oh, for sure.
In your mother's rib cage is an Arab one.
Damn.
That is.
These are all very mother centric.
Yeah. At least it's specific with regard to who is sticking their dick in whose mother.
Yeah.
It's very specific.
I love that every region, every culture has a fuck your mom.
Right.
You know, put something in your mom.
Yes. I think it's because dads are too wifey. Like, you know, dads in every culture, you know.
Yeah, everyone's like, fuck your dad.
Right.
No, don't care about your fucking dad. Fuck your dad. But your mother, you know,
your mother's more likely to stick around. You're more likely to have a good relationship with your mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for her.
Icelandic culture has grandfather fucker, uncle fucker, and sheep fucker, which are...
They respect women.
Right.
cool, Iceland. Cool.
While Bulgarians say your mother sucks bears in the forest.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Damn,
so
your
good.
Your mom is brave, though.
Right.
I imagine sucking bear dick.
Yeah. She's just so desperate to suck a dick that she's sucking a bear dick in the forest.
Hey, look, mom, you don't have to go to the forest to suck bear dick, okay? Just come on down in the eagle. you know, blah, blah, blah.
So Romanians were the number one on this dude's list with just more like shampoo my dick hair with your saliva, like gross shit. Ew. Brush your teeth, my dick will soon be inspecting. But Serbians have just like the all right, so they have a particularly brutal, I guess, salutation / the worst wedding toast ever. May God give you to search for your children with a Geiger counter. And then may your house be live on CNN.
What is a Geiger?
It's a radiation detector. Right. So this is a post-nuclear age insult, I would imagine. And that's very Yugoslavian, I would imagine, actually.
And you never want your house to be live on CNN.
Is there like a snappy...
Unless you live in Times Square.
True shit. Is there a snap? I guess language and translation is probably way more slappy and... Right. And,
right.
In their language.
Yes.
Now do it in Serbian. Do it in Serbian.
My accent is all fucked up, so.
That's fair. Yeah, also, the outrage on that is just so hilarious.
Right.
And I love her for not backing down, and I love Pelosi for not backing down on it. Just
being
like, I'm sorry, that's not the language I would use, but have you heard the president's dirty fucking filthy mouth?
Right.
You know? That motherfucker's fucking mouth?
Right.
So, you know, we've got some stars in this new group of Congress.
And it's all lumped in with them being outraged about AOC dancing.
She's a freshman in Congress. Like, you never see like Republicans are hating on her hard.
Oh, yeah. They're scared of her.
They're scared of her.
Oh, I'm sorry. This like super smart, super brassy, super baby, like a babe. Not that her looks matter, but like she's this total package.
But that's
of
the thing.
That
Hollywood
makes her a celebrity.
People,
for sure.
Well, I think that is part of their fear, right?
Yeah.
Is like how they're attracted to her and they don't know how to deal with
that.
She's got that Obama. Je ne sais quoi.
She does.
She's
she got
smart.
That
she's easy on the eyes, and she's, you know, woke as fuck.
And she knows how to use Twitter better than I think any. Like Chris Saliza like tweeted some half quote from her, and she was like, "Here it is in context," and just said the rest of the thing she said, and it was like took everything that he was trying to do out of it. She's good.
It's going to be really interesting to see. Although I will say she got a. When she was quoted as, or someone was quoted anonymously as saying that she was going to actively try to remove Hakeem Jeffries, who's one of the new members of leadership, she attacked Politico for saying that they used anonymous sources as news, and everyone on the liberal side was like, you can't do that, and this is the only thing I'm going to say about it. That's like, whenever there's an anonymous source about Trump, we're like, that's the realest thing in the entire world. So it just goes to show you the news media is just like super fucked up and everyone kind of hates it. And I'm just like, let's let Mueller do his job, impeach the motherfucker, and then we done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then lastly, as we're entering the awards season, I talk a lot of shit about the Oscars. I've long said that I think they should give the Oscars out 5 years afterwards. And everybody, when Seth Rogen, I guess, tweeted the same idea, and people were like, oh, he's stealing it from you. It's like, no, that's just a good idea. That, yeah. Like,
he stole people, your idea.
Yeah. But so I do think Oscars get a lot of shit wrong. But there was something that someone tweeted out from Metacritic that is the lowest scoring Oscar Best Picture nominees that I thought is a good illustration of the value of award season, in that they kind of give some sort of critical relevance to movies that were otherwise like maybe not appreciated at their time. Mm-hmm. Like Ghost was a poorly reviewed movie. A Few Good Men was a poorly reviewed movie, or just like not well reviewed.
Yeah.
Rain right. Man, The Sixth Sense.
And oh, then, yeah, because Haley Joel Osment.
Right.
They gave Whoopi her backup Oscar for Ghost because they know they owed her that shit for The Color Purple.
Yeah. Right.
So,
yeah.
So yeah. They gave her Leonardo. They're yeah. like, here you go, sis. Sorry we missed you last year.
Yeah. Right.
Like Julia Roberts and Erin Brockovich.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But those are movies that, I don't know, I assumed were well reviewed, I think, because they got Oscar recognition and they're just widely and generally perceived as classics now. Scent of a Woman and Field of Dreams were both kind of poorly reviewed. They're not, they don't really hold up for me, but
yeah,
a lot of people love them. So those are movies that I feel like, I don't know, the Oscars did their job by being like, these are actually good movies, even though critics weren't feeling them.
I just get upset when literally the movie that I think is like, whenever there's a movie that's like clearly the best movie in my mind doesn't even get touched or talked about, then I get upset about that. And that movie this year would be First Reformed, starring Ethan Hawke.
Oh, super yeah. Good.
Ooh.
And yeah, it's an environmental movie that also brings religion into the whole thing, and it is just like, he's so good, and the fact, like, what do you have to do, you know, take your shirt off and dance at a Live Aid concert, and then you can win all the awards, but you can't do like real like deep emotional acting and get an award in this day and age.
Right.
I mean, you can if you're Daniel Day-Lewis and you're in a movie oh, that yeah. nobody ever wants to see again, but you're good.
That's true. That's true. Although Black Klansman was my favorite movie and it got nominated and didn't win anything. That was yeah. my other favorite movie of the year. Entertainment wise.
It was slow for me. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, but you know, I love old Spike, so.
Yeah. I felt like it was like the I, Tonya of this year, like kind of entertaining and very like stylized, and I liked it. It didn't, you know, it might not be the best movie, but it was like one that I really enjoyed.
Right.
I liked the story a lot.
I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no, I feel like everything's going to be boring this year because there just aren't any like cool, controversial, interesting movies. Like, where is the fish fucking? Where's the, you know, where's the things right. that I want to talk yeah. about?
Oh, you haven't seen Vice?
I didn't oh. like Vice as much as it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, yeah, I mean that. Again, it was just like The Big Short with like with another monster kind of scenario.
Right.
But Christian Bale was Dick Cheney in that, I will say.
Right.
So.
Oh, he is a monster.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Christian
yeah.
Bale. A lot of people were surprised that he is not American. So.
Yeah, yeah. I was too. Wife. I've never heard him speak in his own accent.
Yeah, I had heard it ever. A couple years before when he accepted some award, and I was surprised then. And it seemed like he has gotten more Cockney since then. Mm. Like,
yeah,
it seems
that's
like
what everyone saying. He's like, yeah. Thank you so very much, everybody.
Guff?
Yeah, may I have some more porridge? Right. Like, what are you talking about?
I feel like everyone drinks at the Golden Globes, so maybe at that point he like was a little sauced up.
That's
and
a great
point. That's a good point, because my country, like, when I started drinking, then I started sounding even more country.
Yeah.
I don't sound that way.
Yeah,
this is how I normally talk.
Right.
Okay, yo, that's a really good point.
Probably.
Yeah. Or otherwise, Christian Bale has made it his whole career without ever talking to us.
Very true.
I don't remember. I never knew he was British.
Yeah.
I forgot he was. I mean, I just think of him always as the boy from Newsies, so I don't know if he's British, but boy, can he sing and dance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, this has been so much fun having you here. Casey, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Casey, L-E-Y, lie, and on Instagram, Casey, W-L-E-Y. I'm sorry, that was backwards. Casey Lye on Instagram. Just go there. That's all that matters.
Right.
And then I'll be in San Francisco coming up this week. I'll be at the Punchline in San Francisco Tuesday through Thursday, and I will be performing in SF Sketchfest, which is the big comedy festival. I'm opening for Nico Santos from Crazy Rich Asians and Superstore
at
the Marines Memorial Theater this Friday the 11th.
Casey is an amazing stand-up. Go check him out. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
I forgot that I was going to do it. And yeah, sure, I'll just do one of my own. Oh, yeah, this was funny to me. Ugly people hate Nancy Pelosi because she's hot. I'll just do that one. I love Nancy Pelosi right now. So.
Hell yeah. Lacey.
Ooh, okay.
Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest co-host.
So happy to be here.
Where can people find you?
Okay, y'all know y'all can find me on the interwebs at Instagram at Diva Lacey, DivaLaci. Also Twitter at Diva Lacey, DivaLaci. Also Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. Y'all know where to find me. And then my favorite tweet right now, this is actually my tweet. But it's that if we keep ousting all these male creep musicians, Jacquees will be the king of R&B. So, at this rate, he's going to be our king. we right, should Jacquees. All just accept it. Ooh.
You can find me on Twitter, @Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been liking. Matt Binder tweeted. So Kaya Jones tweeted, how would you feel about your child using this bathroom, and took a video of a gender-neutral restroom that's like, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in. It was like real erratic camera work, and Matt Binder tweeted, I'd tell them to watch out for the weirdo filming the bathroom outside. Joe Randazzo tweeted that Americans upset that their $11 millionth dollar earned might be taxed at a higher rate. We'll just need to get a second job and do a better job of saving. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. And we have a Hosnier special Hi. Coming at you. Super producer Anna Hosnier. What song are we riding out on today?
Today I'm going to recommend the song by L.A. Priest called Oh I Know, which is O-I-N-O. It's really I know. Fun. It's like... Beep, 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 beep. That doesn't really sound like it. It's really fun. It's a little poppy song, and I really like it. It's got a great beat, and I just like jump around my room to it until I'm tired, which is within a second.
Okay. Are you okay? Do you think you're like maybe suffering some physical ailment? Jump around for 1 second and you're physically exhausted.
Yeah, it's called marijuana.
Air quality.
All right, guys. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. How long's it gonna take to rewind time? Wanna make you feel like you are always mine.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.